You may be seated. We're going to pick up right where we left off, and we're going to get the explanation. Just don't let it lock you in too tightly. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden since the foundation. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." So if we're really going to do this, we have to go back actually to the start of the chapter. So the start of the chapter has Jesus telling the parable of the sower. So the sower goes out and throws seed, and some of it lands on the road, and some of it lands on good soil, and some of it doesn't have roots and burns up. Y'all know the parable. And he explains the parable to the disciples and says, "I tell parables so that other people won't get it, only y'all will get it." Quick question. How well did the disciples get it? Okay, so we had a bit of a discussion about this in Sunday school, and a piece of why Jesus used parables is we're still talking about them 2,000 years later. We know what the golden rule is. We read that in the last 2 weeks. How well do we keep the golden rule, having it been put out plainly in front of us? Right? So perhaps some of this is to get us thinking and chewing and processing more than just, "Oh, I know I'm supposed to do that and I didn't do it. Oh, well." There's a challenge in, you know, are these things really secret? Are they really just for believers? Are they really just for the 12? How does this work? By the end of this chapter, Jesus changes his mind. So away we go. It is important, I think, to note that we're coming right out of the parable of the sower with an explanation that God is the one sowing the seed. When we head right into the kingdom of heaven is like a field where a man sows seed, I think we're supposed to draw a connection between those two things. The way we often break them up in lectionary and Bible study is that they're completely separate things and they don't talk to each other at all. Well, except for the fact that it's part two of Jesus' lesson today. So it's important also for us to remember that when Jesus says this, he's describing the kingdom of heaven. That the kingdom of heaven is like, not the church, not the U.S., not me and the disciples are like, the kingdom of heaven is like. So there's some challenges to us in this text. The kingdom of heaven is like the man who sows the seed. We often make it like the field. Kingdom of heaven is like the one who sows the seed. And then in sneaks this other person. If you look at the cover of your bulletin, back in the fields on the hill line, you will actually see a creature with horns sneaking. Catch it yet? So you got the people up front sleeping, and then you've got this thing back here sneaking on the ridge line. With horns. Sowing. The artists were not very subtle, let's be honest. And then the weeds grow up. And so the servants, the Greek word is doulos, it's the word that's used throughout the New Testament for servant or slave, are like, "Well, we should go pick those up. We should go get those out of there." How many of you have tried to weed new growth? How many of you have weeded the wrong thing with new... Claire's over there laughing at me. Just once or twice, right, Claire? Once or twice every time you went weeding. Yeah. And so there's a piece of this parable that is reminding us, it should remind us of most of the rest of the parables of the New Testament, where Jesus talks about things that bear fruit. That's actually nestled in here, is that the things have come up and they've started to bear fruit. But that it takes a while to see if something is good or not. It takes a little bit. And so the servants want to just go ahead and do this. I'm convinced that they're talking about Peter, because Peter always just wants to do it immediately and has the best answer and just needs to do something right now. And the household master says, slow down. Let it all grow. When we harvest, we'll get the good stuff. Then we'll take the weeds. We'll bundle up the weeds. The weeds will go away. The word for reaper is a different word than the word for servant. It's actually a specialized position, i.e., let somebody who knows what they're doing handle it. How many of you have broken something at your house by handling something you probably should have let somebody who knew what they were doing handle? Right? Sometimes these parables hit way too close to home. And so, before we get to the explanation, because that's a ways down the line, I want us to then continue to again draw the string that connects all of these parables. Because the next two parables are like a verse each. There's not much to them. We've spent a lot of time on them over the years. But there's just not that much in the scriptural text to them. Jesus goes on to finish that first parable and say, you know, the weeds will be bundled up, they'll be thrown into the fire, it'll all be good. And then he says, the kingdom of heaven is like... And again, it's somebody who sows their field with mustard seed. Now, think about that for a moment. I do not know anybody whose prime crop is mustard. Right? Maybe the French's family. But like, think about it. We're going to grow mustard. It's got basically three possible applications. We want the seed to grind it up for spice. We want the leaves. I grew up in the South. Greens are a thing. We want to make a mustard plaster out of it, a medicine. That's it. None of those are us intending to plant mustard to build shrubs or trees. The Gospels disagree on which one it turns into, and don't even get the botanists involved because they disagree beyond that. The purpose of planting it is not to make a home for the birds. You sow a field for a crop you can harvest, a crop you can use that you can turn into to cash or barter or use to eat yourself. You don't sow the fields so that the birds have something. The farmers here do not plant corn so that we can have corn stalks to decorate the house at Halloween. It's a side effect. And they're going to get money out of it however they can, but it's not the intended purpose. I think a piece of this parable tied in with the last one is that by the time we let things go all the way to fruition, there may be more to it than we had imagined. It may be bigger than we had imagined. Then we get into yet another parable about a woman and some yeast and three barrels, three measures of flour. And you need to ask Jean about Aunt Helen and the yeast. You can do that after the service. You will never see it the same way, but just ask Jean about it later. And think about how this ties in. Matthew's the most Jewish of the gospel writers, so he's talking to a Jewish audience who part of their ritual life every year at Passover is making sure there is absolutely no yeast in the house, because they have a ritual that reminds them of the Passover when there was not time for the bread to rise. And it is such a big deal. We don't talk about leavened bread the rest of the year, but we talk about unleavened bread at Passover. And again, there's this image that you got to wait for things. They've got to turn into what they need to be. They have to rise. They have to proof. Sometimes they have to get punched back down. They have to rise again for bread to be bread. I'm a child of the early 90s when everybody had a bread maker. And those are some of the densest loaves of bread you are ever going to find. There was no process in it to allow the bread to rise, to allow the gas bubbles to form in the bread. And so you got bread that, frankly, we could use as doorstops most of the time. I mean, really dense little loaves that didn't match what was in my head as bread from having made bread with my mother for years, where you knead it, and you smack it around, and you add more flour, and you hope you got it right, and you grease the pan, and well, if you're seven, you don't grease the pan very well. Pan gets re-greased, and then you bake it, and you know, you wait. And I mean, at our house, there was this ritual that, you know, is there really anything better than a fresh slice of bread slathered with butter right out of the oven? And that's what we were waiting for. The bread machine did not deliver. It really did not deliver. It was faster. It was easier, but it wasn't really what we were looking for. I think that parable kind of hits home with this, that some things take a while to do what they need to do, to turn into what they need to turn into. Now, we have a challenge with these scriptural passages because most of us don't plant, most of us don't harvest. Even those of us who garden don't like to weed. And very few people make their own bread anymore. So we've lost a possible connection with these parables. I think part of the reason Jesus taught in these parables is because these were things that people were going to do and see every single day. And we've lost that. We're out of touch with that. Using an app on your phone to call Uber Eats is not the same thing. And so one of our challenges is to figure out how both to understand these passages and how to share them. So there's a meme that floats around the internet every year at Hanukkah that says, okay, let me explain Hanukkah to you. It's like your cell phone battery was at 10% and it lasted for 8 days. You know, I mean, we're used to it. We, in the last 3 years, we've panicked. We've been incredibly dismayed when there was not enough toilet paper at Kroger or enough of anything else that we thought we wanted, because we're at the point where we think we just get whatever we want whenever we want it. And so these parables really speak to us about a lot of things, but particularly about letting time happen. So this first parable, which is known as the parable of the weeds and the wheat, or the parable of the tares, if we apply it to, well, let's do faith. I mean, why would we do faith? Well, let's do faith, right? Often we can't tell, looking at someone else or something else, if it's healthy, if it's what's wanted, until it matures. And in my time in ministry, I have gone through so many spiritual fads out there. Congregation member will come up and go, what about? My favorite one was the prayer of Jabez, which is drawn off of like two verses and raised like $700 million in sales. I mean, you want to talk about mustard seed into a mighty tree. There you go. But do we remember it? Has it lasted? Is it weed or is it wheat? It takes some time on some of those things to watch them happen and grow. Do they turn into what we think they turn into? We are people who like things to go fast, except when we don't. And we're very critical when it goes fast and we want it to go slow. Part of this passage is very simply about letting things be what they are. Wheat takes a while to grow. It grows. This passage actually refers to a plant that looks very similar to wheat. That's part of why that you're supposed to get specialists to do it. But there's a piece of it that you can't tell. When Lori plants her garden separate from my part of the garden, I'll go help weed and I'll go, is this a weed? What'd you plant here? What is this? We need to know what we're hoping to see and what it looks like when it matures, or else we pull it up. We also need to, it's great to go weed. I don't know anybody who really lives to go weed. I'm sure there's somebody out there, but we often move like these servants, and we move so quickly that we do harm. With an incautious word or something else, we get rid of what we wanted to keep in the process. And that's a challenge. And then that flips in the very next parable to sometimes when we wait with the mustard seed, we get more than what we had wanted, more than what we had intended, more than what we had imagined. But we all want it to be instant. How many of you have gotten frustrated that somebody hasn't texted you back in 5 minutes? That crosses age generation barriers, doesn't it? Right? We are an immediate society. We like things immediately. It's not always for the best for us. These parables remind us that the kingdom of God moves at a different pace from us. And we need that reminder. Because we would do it all right now. Or we would do it all later, depending on our personality type. And we need that peace to be reminded of all of these things. These parables all actually kick back to what we've discussed the last couple weeks in the Beatitudes. The yeast is like the salt and the light. It's a little bit of something that changes things. And that's where I think we need to lump and take a bigger view on the parables. Zoom back out and get a sense of the whole of the gospel, because guess what? These are not the only agricultural references Jesus is going to make. There's going to be vineyards, there's going to be vines, there's going to be fruit, there's going to be all these things. And we need to hold that together. How long does it take a fruit tree to bear fruit? We talk about that when Jesus is saying, cut down this fig tree. Well, you know, some trees take longer than others to bear fruit. How long do we wait? And that entire parable is about an impatient landowner and a gardener who says, give it a little more time. And we always want to leap to the fact, well, the landowner is God and Jesus is the gardener. Well, sometimes the landowner is us and Jesus is still the gardener saying, give it a little more time. These parables, there are so many books on parables. There are so many books on parables. It's easy for us to get trapped in them. It's easy for us to get caught in the weeds. we need to take the time not to get stuck in the explanations when we get them, whether they're from Jesus or from this scholar or that scholar or our Sunday school teacher from when we were six, whatever it is. But hear them again. Hear them again. Think about the encounters we have in a given week, right? We have encounters at the gas station. We have encounters on our phones, little boxes and screens on our computers. We occasionally maybe bump into people face to face like they're real in the world. And we almost never know what's going on with them. We almost never know what's going on with them. And in that moment, we have a chance to be yeast, to let something rise and bubble up and transform. We have those chances. We have to be satisfied that we may never get to eat the end slice off of that loaf fresh out of the oven. But for that person, that may be the kingdom of God, that somebody took the time to give a little bit to let their life rise. We run into people all the time and we do something with one thing in mind, right? Oh, I'm going to do this for them. That would be great. And sometimes it goes over here. That's the mustard seed. We do it for this reason, and this other thing comes out that is a blessing, that is transformative, that cannot be missed. Not that we had any idea we were doing that. These parables remind us, even if we don't plant, even if we don't reap, even if we don't make our own bread, even if you don't grind your own mustard, that it is in the things of every day that the kingdom of heaven is made real. We often want it to be the conversion of Paul. We want it to be the burning bush. We want it to be a bright light. We want it to be a miracle. Part of the power of the parables is that they are grounded in things we do and see and touch and taste every day. And that is where we should see the kingdom, today, tomorrow, and always. To God alone be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.